Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Taxes and the economy. Do higher taxes hurt the economy, reduce job growth? That's the question that's driving debate in politics in D.C. But what happens when the evidence pops up that refutes conservative economic assumptions about tax rates and GDP? Thomas Hungerford is an economist at the Economic Policy Institute, who says corporate tax rates in the U.S. are not burdensome, and many corporations are able to are paying much less than the actual corporate tax rate. Give us a call at 614-8980 if you want to discuss corporate taxes. Do you think that corporations are getting away without paying their fair share of taxes and that the middle class is having to pick up the slack? 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Do you think corporations should pay a lower tax rate to help stimulate the economy and grow jobs? We also want to hear from you. You could also go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And welcome to The Source, Thomas Hungerford. You there, sir?
Thank you.
So tell me about the report that you have authored saying that, tax rate, at corporate tax rate and the economy, what's the connection?
Well, there's a couple of points that I make in the report. One is looking at the statutory corporate tax rate. Historically, since the Second World War, we're currently nowhere near what the highest rates were.
So after the World War, back then in the 50s, it was 50%.
Yeah, it was on average about 51%. Kind of varied from 52 down to 50. Today, it's currently at 35%. That's the statutory tax rate.
So when you say the statutory, that's what it says on the books. But what are people actually paying?
And then there's what people are actually paying. And well, GAO just came out with a report a few days ago. Written for Senators Levin and Coburn, looking at the effective tax rate that corporations pay. And they ended up finding that it's considerably less than 35%. I think for profitable corporations, look up their numbers. They're talking about 13 to 17%. Effective tax rate rather than a 35% tax rate.
Well, I know that a lot of people would prefer to pay 13% of their own personal income tax. That would be great. That would be a bargain.
Well, actually, I think that on the personal income tax side, about 14% I think is the average. All taxpayers, though some pay less than that and some pay more than that.
Okay, so the connection is, though, it's become an issue debated in like presidential politics, what to do about the corporate tax rate. And there are people who want it lowered. They say that United States has one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world, but that's what it is on paper, but it's not the tax rate that's in effect because there's so many loopholes available. And there are many giant corporations that are able to actually pay nothing.
Correct. And that's another point that I bring out in this report I've done, and many other people have brought this out, that if you look at effective tax rates, the United States is not a liar. We're kind of right in with most of the other developed countries or OECD countries as far as the effective tax rate. I think just looking at a report that PricewaterhouseCoopers did, they calculate the U.S. effective tax rate at about 27.7%. And if you take a weighted average of the effective tax rate of the OECD countries, it's 27.2%. Not a great deal of difference there.
So what would it do for corporate profits? We know that corporate profits are at an all-time high. So is that
correct?
So maybe though the tax rate is lower, maybe they're still able to provide a nice big chunk of the tax revenue for the country.
Well, let's see. Corporate tax revenues, as a share of income, have been steadily falling since the 1950s. Just a second. Let me see if I can find some numbers here. It turns out that, as a matter of fact, if you look at the corporate income tax, and this is just the average over the 1950s, the corporate income tax as a share of all federal revenues was about 27%. If you look at the last 10 years, just since 2003, corporate tax revenues as a share of total revenue has fallen to about 10%. If you want to look at it as a share of, say, national income, GDP, it's fallen from 8 or 9% of GDP to the latest year, just this last year, was 1.6% of GDP. So, corporate tax payments have been falling relative to income and falling relative to corporate profits.
So in the 1950s, corporate taxes accounted for about 30% of total revenues for the United States. And in 2012, it was $242.3 billion, almost 10% of total federal revenues. When did it drop off? Was there a watershed year where some policies kicked in where these corporations were able to get away with paying a lot less corporate taxes?
Oh, let's see. I think it's been pretty much a steady decline. You might see, I'm just looking at a figure here. Actually, it looks like somewhere around 1980, 1981, there was a rather large drop. One of the things is since...
So those are the Reagan tax cuts.
Yeah, those would be the original Reagan tax cuts in 81. Probably had something to do with that.
Okay, and so...
Had a lot to do with it.
So what do you propose happen? Are you recommending a fix? Is this a good status quo to have, or do you eyeball something that like this is out of whack?
I think things are out of whack. I think when you're looking at Apple has been in the news quite a bit lately, and if you read tax news, Starbucks, they had some problems in the UK that apparently Starbucks they have a 30% market share that yet for 14 out of 15 years they were unprofitable and didn't pay taxes.
All right.
Something going on.
We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break. The number is 614-8980. If you've got a question about corporations, why are they not paying their fair share of taxes? And that's according to my guest, Thomas Hungerford. He's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Join us. The number is 614-8980. Want to hear from you? Give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Join the conversation about the corporate tax code. The number is 614-8980. Our guest is Thomas Hungerford. He's the senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. And you said that the tax code is out of whack. We know that the statutory tax code is about 35%, but corporations pay much less than that. And how is it they're able to pay so much less? And is there a way to fix this, Mr. Hungerford?
the large part of this is it's what's known as tax expenditures. I mean, those are also known as loopholes, but you know, essentially it's just little provisions in the tax code that allow firms to take deductions, actually defer paying taxes on income, et cetera. Now, if we got rid of those, for example, on the corporate income tax side, if you got rid of all of them, potentially you could increase tax revenues by 50%. If you want to just go with, say, one large tax provision, you could end up increasing. If you got rid of this provision, you could increase corporate tax revenues by about $45 billion. And that's just a provision that multinationals are allowed, which is to defer. It's called deferral. They defer paying taxes on income from foreign sources, from their foreign subsidiaries, until they repatriate the money back to the United States.
Yeah, and your studies are about how the impact of the corporate taxes and on economic growth, on GDP, is it would right. If we actually had a say a 35%, the actual tax rate that we have, and that was became the tax rate that corporations paid, would that have a detrimental impact or a dampening on economic growth?
That's kind of saying that if corporations ended up going from paying about 20% to 35% tax rate, would that have any effect? I mean, that's a very large increase. Chances are over several years it will have some effect. But I don't think that it's going to be, a huge effect. We're talking about essentially in a 14-15 trillion dollar economy, increasing tax revenues by about $100 billion. Change in when you're talking about trillions of dollars.
Right. So it wouldn't make these corporations crater. They wouldn't stop doing what they do because they're having to pay more taxes.
Right.
And then, can we think that because corporations aren't paying their fares that necessarily that the middle class is having to take up the slack?
Let's see. Eventually, somebody's going to have to take up the slack. I mean, we've been running deficits for the last, 14 years or so. 13 years, but eventually all of those, that leads to debt, and that's going to have to be paid off. It's a matter of some taxpayers are picking up the slack now. Future taxpayers will have to pick up that pick up the slack.
Sure. And
so the answer is yes. Other taxpayers, current or future, have to pick up the slack.
So another benefit of fixing this tax code issue with corporations is that they wouldn't be as likely to be used as tax shelters for high income individuals.
Correct. Yes. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons to have a tax code, a corporate tax code, is just to prevent sheltering of income.
But because we have the situation we have now, where corporations are able to pay much less than many people, that these corporations are being used as tax shelters for some of these ultra rich.
I guess it's for the most part, very rich people do own many of the, have large shares in these corporations. I'd say the corporations are essentially, sheltering income. From the tax person or the tax man.
So we're talking to Thomas Hungerford. He's a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. You sound like a nice guy, Tom, though I know that you've been a controversial figure at times, you know, that especially when you were with the Congressional Research Service and you helped author a report that many people in Washington, D.C. did not like.
It came out, you know, at the time Congress was considering what to do about the pending expiration of the 2001-2002 Bush tax cuts. And I was essentially looking at, okay, let's look and see what the top statutory tax rates for capital gains and ordinary income, what impact they have on economic growth, on investment, on savings, and productivity, and on income inequality.
So the debate was, if you get rid of the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, that's going to hurt job creators. You released a report that refuted that.
I think it was the argument. I guess the justifications for extending the Bush tax cuts was that if you and as a matter of fact, I think the only debate was over allowing the Bush tax cuts to expire for people with adjusted gross income over $250,000. So we're talking about the top 2% of taxpayers. Many people were making the argument that if you allow the Bush tax cuts to expire for these people, economic growth will, take a nosedive. We're going to lose jobs, et cetera, et cetera. It'll have, detrimental effects on savings, on investment, on productivity. So I wanted to take a close look at it, and I just found no evidence that that's true.
So folks like Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, he raised concerns about the mythology and other flaws, he said, that were in this report, and they wanted it revoked.
They asked that it actually, I'm not sure if they specifically asked that it be taken down. I think they asked that CRS seriously consider withdrawing the report.
And this caused quite a kerfuffle, though. I mean, there were people that were calling for it, maybe not Mitch McConnell himself, but others were. And it kind of reminded me a lot of, you know, in the lead up to the Greece's meltdown, there were some reports that had come out from inside of Greece from their economists saying they were on troubled ground, shaky ground. And those people ran afoul of the leadership there. And, you know, if we can't have honest debate about what our economic policies are without having people like yourself being targeted and criticized in the media, then it certainly is has a chilling effect on having, an open and educated debate.
I agree. Many times, and I guess this has been throughout history during congressional debates, many times, they are debated on the facts. Sometimes they're not. I think this was just more of a political tussle than, anything else. And, unfortunately, I came along and I kind of took away one of the arguments being used by, Senator McConnell and Senator Hatch in their arguments for extending the Bush tax cuts.
But back to the corporate tax rate, and so this is ripe for reform. We need to take an honest and open look at what we're doing with taxes for corporations. We can't really have that if we have a statutory tax rate of 35%, but an actual tax rate that people are paying, which is much, much less.
I think most people agree that the tax code is very complicated, and there are. These tax expenditures that I was talking about are these special provisions. A lot of times they'll apply to, one group of taxpayers. In the case of, corporate tax, it may be, just one industrial sector can benefit from a particular tax break. But there are a lot of these tax breaks, and fortunately, you know, firms spend quite a bit of money on legal advice, on tax lawyers, tax accountants, to figure out how to reduce their tax burden.
It seems like they're more willing to pay money to get out of taxes than they are to pay their taxes.
You have to be fair. I think they get a pretty good return on their investment, in all these tax lawyers. I understand GE has a rather large tax division, and it may, they may be raking in more profits than anybody else by just, almost eliminating their tax burden.
So what is the most common tax loophole that's used? How does that work?
Well, I think the big one is it's deferral on the corporate side. That's where most of the money is. It allows multinational corporations. Apple just.
So deferral is the way to go. Watch for deferral. All right. We want to thank you so much, Thomas Hungerford. He's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute doing a report on corporate taxes in America. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.